Daniel chapter 7, and I want to start reading at verse number 9. And then I'm just going to ask the Lord to bless his word today. Daniel 7, 9 says, "And I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like a fiery flame, and the wheels were like burning fire. And there was a fiery stream that issued, that came forth from before him. Thousands upon thousands of ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were open. And behold, then, because of the voice of the great words which had been spoken by a horn, I beheld, even until the beast was slain, and his body destroyed, and given over into a burning flame. And concerning the rest of the beasts that had been seen, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. And I saw in the night vision, and behold," watch this, "one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, and he came to the Ancient of Days. And they brought him near before him." Verse 14. "And there was given to him dominion, glory, kingdom, that all the people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away. And his kingdom is that which shall not be destroyed." Amen? You know who we're talking about there. Amen? Let's pray over this and ask, amen. Give him a clap of praise. He is worthy. Amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Father, I ask you just to touch your word today. Let it be the engrafted word into our hearts that is able to save our body, soul, and spirit. Father, I pray today that I would just be dead and hidden in Christ, and no man would see or hear me. They would only see and hear you. I pray that I'd be resurrected with Christ, that I'd be seated with him in heavenly places, so that I may minister out of a throne room perspective. And I pray that you would give to your people a spirit of wisdom and revelation. God, open the eyes of their understanding that they might know the fullness of your love, the greatness of your inheritance, what all great and wonderful things that you have available to them through Christ. Lord, I ask you to bless your word today, and may it bring forth fruit that remains. We ask it in Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Amen. I got to get down there where you guys are. You guys know me too well. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I'm so excited because I know all summer long you guys have been talking about Jesus. What a great topic. Amen. In fact, that's my favorite topic. I could talk about Jesus all day long and all night long and never get tired. And I know you're the same way. You've been hearing some perspectives about who Christ is. Amen. You've been hearing some description of who Jesus is. And you know, that's so important because the Bible talks about in the book of Daniel, actually Daniel chapter 12, it says in the last days that those that know their God shall do great exploits in the earth. Amen. Hallelujah. One time Jesus was asked, they said, "How can I have eternal life?" And Jesus says, "To know the one true God, and to know Jesus, to know the one that he has sent," amen, the Messiah, "this is eternal life." So knowing God is important, and to be known of God is important, amen? And so that we can get a revelation of who he is, so that God can help us understand the fullness of who he is, because we don't know who we are until we know who he is, amen? And so it's so important that we understand who Jesus is. And that's what you guys have been talking about all summer, but I'm hoping to add to that, all right? Because in receiving what the Lord had laid on my heart for you guys, I believe it's going to unlock some things for your individual life. Amen? I know it has for mine. So we read here in the book of Daniel about Daniel having a vision from God. I love to watch this church in operation. I love the freedom of the Holy Spirit. I love how the gifts of God are welcomed. Amen? how all of the gifts of God are welcome to have their way. That's the fullness of the body being manifest. Amen? Aren't you glad that it's not just one of us, but it's all of us that have been gifted by God to minister one to another? Amen? In the fivefold ministry gifts that are mentioned in Ephesians chapter 4, it says that the fivefold ministry, the apostles, the prophets, the pastors, the teachers, the evangelists, we have been given grace to train and equip the saints so that they can do the work of ministry. Amen? Hallelujah. That grace is imparted, as Paul said to Timothy. He said that there was a grace imparted from me to you. He said, I want to stir up that gift of God in you by the laying on of hands. Amen? That God has imparted to each one of us through the gifts of God. The scripture says that Jesus first descended into the lower parts of the earth. Amen. He overcame death, hell, and the grave. And then he ascended, taking captivity captive. Amen. And the next thing he did, he began to give gifts unto men. Hallelujah. So we are a part of that. And I love that description of how that Daniel, about either some scholars say somewhere between 500 and 600 years before Jesus, Daniel, a young man that was carried away into Babylonian captivity from his hometown there in Israel, that he was in a foreign land and he was in a dark place. Some say, you know, that, you know, we talk about culture today and we see that there's a lot of negative, dark things out in culture. That's not where our focus is, by the way. But Daniel was carried into a very dark place. He was carried into a land where there was idolatry, where there was perversion, where there was corruption, where there was worship of false gods and demonic entities. And this young man at a young age was carried with his friends into this place. And yet during that time, because of his relationship with God, he was able to have such an impact. Some scholars say that Daniel became the second in command under 5 world empires. Amen. And that's influence. And he wasn't married. We know that, you know, he was a eunuch under the Lord. And so I'd say being second in command under 5 world empires would probably amass a pretty nice fortune. I was reading one time several years ago, and there are scholars that believe that on his deathbed, that Daniel took his wealth and he says, now, I'm going on, but one day there's going to be a king born. And you're going to see a sign in the heavenlies, a star in the east. Do you know what Daniel's title was in Babylon? He was the head of the Magi. And that he imparted wealth to be taken and given to this Messiah king when he was born. One day, fast forward into the New Testament, we see some leaders coming from the east with a camel train of gold and frankincense and myrrh, a great wealth, and they were brought prophetically and laid at the feet of the Messiah King. Some people believe that was Daniel's fortune that was being invested in the Messiah. I love that. It would be like God for that to be the case. But I want to talk about Daniel, as a man of God, seeing our day and describing it here in Daniel chapter 7. The scripture says that Daniel went into, Philippi went into a prophetic encounter with the Lord. And if you study Daniel's life, what you'll find out is that those prophetic encounters that he had with God would manifest in different ways. Sometimes it would be that he would see a vision. And as he was seeing a vision that God was giving him, suddenly he would be so overcome by that vision, he would faint. And as he fainted, he would go into a prophetic dream. Isn't that interesting? And then he would wake up and he would write down what he saw in these prophetic dreams from the Lord. And I'm going to tell you something. If you look at Daniel's encounters with God and his prophetic dreams that God gave him, they were so accurate that they described down to the day things that would be happening in the future. Jesus told his disciples, he said, it's good that I go away, because if I go away, I will send the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, and said, and he will speak of things to come. Amen? In other words, He will impart that prophetic anointing to see things that have not happened yet. So 500 or 600 years before Jesus was even born, Daniel was seeing things in the spirit that would nail down to the very day the Messiah coming and giving his life for all mankind. That's pretty accurate prophetically. Amen? So the scripture says that God speaks now one way, now another, in a dream or in a vision of the night. How many of you believe that God still speaks that way? Amen? He's been speaking that way to me my entire life. And I don't have time to go into all that. You guys have heard me tell some of those stories before, how the Lord would introduce me to someone before in a dream, before I even met them, or show me something that was going to happen. That's just how the prophetic gift works. It's one of the ways that it works. But Daniel would have these encounters. And so he had this encounter where, according to Daniel 7, he said he saw the throne room. He saw what was happening in heaven at the throne of God. And as he's having this vision, he is seeing history play out before him. And he is seeing what he describes as these beasts. Now, I know people have, you know, had different opinions about what that is, but I'll just tell you what I believe that it is, what Daniel was seeing. You know, Paul says in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 10, he says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds. Amen? Have you read that? He says, casting down imaginations and taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Amen? Paul, in another place, said that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and wickedness in high places. You know, what Daniel was seeing in the spirit was these, and the only way he could describe it was like great beasts. And he would say, and this beast would look like this. It'd have so many horns and so many eyes and teeth that would do things. And they were having impact on the earth, right? And what he's describing is things happening in the spirit realm. If you don't understand that, as Daniel is talking, that what he's describing is in first heaven, second heaven, third heaven, then it's really going to get confusing. In other words, first heaven, that's where we exist right here. Our carnal bodies are in that realm. And the scripture says that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Am I telling the truth? Amen? The Bible also talks about a third heaven. Amen? And it talks about that third heaven is right in the presence of God. That's where the throne room is. That's where the angels around the throne. That's where that innumerable group that he was talking about, that we just read about. That's in that third heaven. So in between, there's got to be a second heaven. And in that realm is where a lot of the warfare takes place. You know, Daniel, in Daniel chapter 10, it says that he was praying and asking God for some answers. And when the angel Gabriel finally got to where he was, he said, Daniel, on the first day that you prayed, God sent me with the answer. On the first day that you prayed. So in other words, here's what's happening in, this is not fairy tale. This is not poetry. This is reality. Amen. So Daniel prays and God sends an answer by an angel named Gabriel. And Gabriel's trying to bring the answer to the man of God. And he says, but I was held up by the prince of Persia. What in the world is he talking about there? He's talking about a principality or a spirit that will try to resist the answers that you are trying to receive from God. And Gabriel said, I was held up by this spirit for 21 days. Now, I got to tell you something. Gabriel is big time in the kingdom. Amen. Whenever Zechariah, he came to Zechariah in the New Testament, he said, you and your wife are going to have a child. And Zechariah said, how can I believe this is going to, he said, I'm old, my wife's old, you know, she's barren. And he said, I'm Gabriel, you know. He said, I stand in the presence of the Most High. In other words, he's got reputation, amen? So Gabriel is coming to deliver a message to Daniel, and some kind of a spirit is strong enough to hold back that answer for 21 days. Till finally, listen, Daniel doesn't quit praying. I mean, for 21 days, he just kept praying. I want to tell you something. If you don't factor in that the enemy is going to try to resist the answer to your prayers, you're going to not understand a lot of things that are happening in the earth. And in other words, you're going to pray and something's not going to happen, and you're going to blame God instead of understanding that there is resistance against what you are to receive from God. Amen? So if Daniel, who the scripture says, God called him greatly beloved, you know, Daniel, oh, greatly beloved of God, he's praying, God's sending the answer, and there is principalities and powers that are holding it back for 21 days, but he keeps praying. In fact, the scripture says that it was Daniel's custom to pray three times a day and open his window and face towards Jerusalem and pray three times a day. I had to study that out because, you know, this guy, if you look at his life, he had the power to move angels and demons with his prayers. And I thought, you know, I pray more than that, you know. And it didn't, somehow it wasn't getting to me that him praying three times a day. And then I began to study it out, and the Lord began gave me a greater revelation. And just, can I give you the Reader's Digest version of that real quick? During the days when David established night and day prayer in the earth, it said he set a man named Kenaniah, who was the chief musician. And he was the one in charge of those thousands of singers and musicians that were playing. Amen? And then there was three other men. One was Asaph, one was Heman, and one was Jeduthun. Those three guys were over three watches of the Lord, 3 8-hour watches where there would be night and day prayer, prophetic and intercession going on during those 8 hours. Many of the Psalms, if you look in the liner notes, have these guys' names attached to them. Amen? Because they were in charge of the singers and the intercessors during that 8 hour period. Amen? So during that time, there was a day watch for 8 hours. That was during the daytime. And then there was an evening watch that went for the next 8 hours. And then there was a night watch. And that was the third 8 hours. So that for 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, night and day prayer was going up before God. Exactly the same age that Jesus, that time that he spent on the earth. Not coincidental, by the way. So what it was really saying about Daniel is that he would be, here he was living about 400 years after David. Here he had been taken captive into a foreign country. But as he was walking through his day, suddenly moved upon by the Holy Spirit, he would remember the night and day prayer that happened in Jerusalem. And he would know that that was so powerful that it would have impact in the earth for the next 1,000 years. Amen. And that David in the house of prayer would suddenly break into prophetic and begin speaking the words that Jesus said when he was hanging on the cross. That's effective in the prophetic. Amen. So here is Daniel, and he suddenly is walking through his day, and boom, he remembers, this is the watch of Asaph. And he would begin to pray into the first watch. And then he would be going about his day taking care of five world empires. And he'd go, wait a minute, this is second watch. I've got to stop and come into agreement with the worship and the prayer that went on for 33 and a half years. And he would move into the second watch of the Lord. And then he would be in the middle of the night. God wake him up. He'd say, oh, I'm not going to forget this one. This was the watch of Heman as he would sing through the night season. I love these guys. You know, some people don't know about Heman. I got to tell you this quick fact about him. I call him He-Man, not Heman. But anyway, he was the grandson of Samuel, the prophet. And even though Samuel's sons did not follow in his path, Heman, as a young soldier, went out to a place called the Cave of Adullam. And there he met David. And David discipled him in the Lord. And this is what happened to, this is why I love this guy, because a lot of people don't know this, that 7 generations before Samuel, there was a man named Korah that led a rebellion against Moses and was trying to overthrow Moses' leadership in the wilderness. And as Korah and, you know, gathered his rebellion against Moses, the Bible says that Moses said, okay, God, judge between us who's in the right. And the scripture says that the earth opened up and took Korah and his followers down into hell alive. That's judgment. And it said that, in other words, God stopped the rebellion of Korah. But you know, there was one young man that was left alive of the lineage of Korah. And he survived so that he could get married and have children. And seven generations later, out of the family of Korah, was born a young man named Samuel, who became one of the greatest prophets of Israel that ever lived, who slept in the presence of the Ark of God. And Samuel's grandson was appointed as one of the three, over the three watches. And Heman, you know what he did? He raised up a men's choir. And David would be walking through his day, and suddenly he would stop and say, wait a minute, I'm getting the song from the Lord. And he would have his scribe write it down, and then he would say this, take this to Heman, let it be one of the songs of the sons of Korah. Not the sons of Heman, but all the way back, not the sons of Samuel. How many know about the redemption power of God? Amen. That God will reach way back into your generations and redeem whatever the enemy is trying to put on your life. Amen. So they raised up this men's choir, and can't you hear them in the midnight season? As David, Psalms like ones that says, one of the songs of Korah, I think it's Psalm 46, it says, though the mountains be moved and melt and fall into the sea, said, I will not be moved. For there is a river of God that flows from the throne of God and makes glad the cities of our God. That was one of the songs of Korah. Amen. I've got to hurry. But what I want you to see is that's the kind of prayers that Daniel would enter into. He would enter into the watches of the Lord, and then God would give him these incredible visions. Well, let me fast forward, because in this one, Daniel 7, he has this vision of the throne of God, and in comes, he says, one that's like the Son of Man. And this is beautiful, Phil, because he says, and it was given over to him all power, all authority, all dominion over all of the tribes of the earth forever. Amen. We just read it. In other words, the Son of Man comes to the Ancient of Days and receives all power and authority. He is given the kingdom. Now, I like this, because if you keep reading, let me just ask you this question. When did that happen? I'm saying it like this. I know it happened in the heart of God, and it's been there forever. I know that Jesus was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. But Daniel's seeing something happening 600 years into the future, and he suddenly sees in this vision of the eternal things that the Ancient of Days is handing over all dominion in the universe to the Son of Man. When did that happen on the earth? I'll tell you, there's not going to be a moment like the moment that he conquered death, hell, and the grave. There's not going to be a moment like the day that he was suspended between heaven and earth with all the sins of all mankind laid upon him so that the Father himself had to turn away. There's not a victory moment like the moment that Jesus overcame all of our sins, all of our judgment, all of our condemnation. In other words, I can tell you when it happened on the earth. It's when Jesus rose from the grave and he looked at his disciples. He says, hey guys, all power and authority has been given unto me. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. But it gets even more important. You got to keep reading with me. If you look down, it says that as you keep going through this vision, that these beasts, these principalities, these spirits are trying to resist the saints. Let me just read it for you real quick. I think it's around verse 18. Of Daniel 7, it says, he says, Daniel was grieved in my spirit about these visions, and I came near to one and asked them the truth of all this, and I saw the great beast, the four kings which arise out of the earth. Watch this, verse 18. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and shall possess the kingdom forever and ever and ever. Hallelujah. Amen. Am I telling the truth? Hallelujah. Luke 12, 32 says, fear not, little flock. it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Are you hearing me? Amen? Hallelujah. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, he says, listen, seek first the kingdom and its righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. Am I telling the truth? Amen. Now, I got to show you something. If you stay, are you still with me? Say amen.
Amen.
All right, so I got to show you something. What it says is that these beasts start, and he said these great beasts are trying to resist what's happening in the throne room. And they start attacking the saints. Verse 25 says they start, this spirit, this beast, tries to wear down the saints. It says here, I think, well, let me just read it. Verse 21 of Daniel 7 says this. I beheld, and the same horn, that means authority or power, made war with the saints and prevailed against them. Now, wait a minute. Stay with me a second. In this vision that Daniel's having, the Ancient of Days has already handed all power, all authority, all dominion forever and ever over to the Son of Man, meaning Jesus. Jesus then is giving this authority to the saints to possess. Can I get an amen on that? Isn't that what it says? But it says that these beasts, these principalities, these powers, these wickedness, I got to pause a second. Let me just say something. Let me insert this. During the days of Noah, and Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be before the coming of the Son of Man. Am I right about that? During the days of Noah, here was what it looked like on planet Earth. That all of the families of the earth had started to give their authority through their words and their actions and their worship over to false demons, principalities, and powers. They began to pervert their bloodlines by giving their power and their authority in the earth that was given to Adam. They were giving this over to principalities, powers, and demons. Now, stay with me. I want you to see this. So much so that when God looked at the earth, there were many fires that were going up to false gods or demons. Watch this. So much so that as God looked over the earth, he only found one fire, one family that was still burning to him. He said it grieved him in the heart so much that he repented that he'd even made man. Because the principalities and powers and demons were getting all the worship, which empowers them, by the way. It's the only way they get power. But there was one family, the family of Enoch. I love Enoch. Enoch had this beautiful son named Methuselah, who's lived longer than any other man on the earth, because when Enoch had him, he says, listen, the next thing that God's going to do won't happen until he's gone. That's why he has a Selah in his name, a pause. So for the next 969 years, God waited with judgment until on the day that Methuselah passed away, the rain started. On the day. So then he had a son named Lamech who lived 777 years. Gotta love that. And he had a son named Noah. Only one family was left on the earth that had not given their worship and their authority over to demonic powers. Now, y'all gotta stay with me on this. What happened, God then brought judgment on the earth, and the earth was totally covered with water. And the Bible says that Noah was saved by the flood. Watch this. Y'all got to get this picture. This is one of my most exciting images in my heart. Is that when the waters receded and the ark touched ground and Noah got out and he got the animals off the boat, the first thing he did was build an altar and get one of each of the clean animals and offer a sacrifice to the Lord. Now, you got to get this. About a year earlier, all of these foreign fires to these foreign gods. Fast forward to Noah, and now, as the waters abated, there's only one fire on the earth. There's just one. All other fires had been vanquished. And there was just one family on the earth, and that family was burning a fire to the Most High God. Now, you say, why are you bringing that up? Because those same principalities and powers, those same beasts that Daniel's seen in this night vision, they're trying to do the same thing today. They're trying to get the saints of the Most High God to agree with them instead of agreeing with God. They're trying to get us to give authority to demons by agreeing with the mess and the darkness and the negativity and the sickness and the terrorism and the wickedness in the earth and everything that every news agency is saying. They're trying to get us to give our authority. The scripture says, by your words you are justified, and by your words you are condemned. The Bible says that the power of life and death is in the tongue. Amen. The scripture says that man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Listen, what I'm telling you is that we know that according, and you read it there in Hebrews 1 today, that the angels are stewarding words from God. Describes this in Hebrews 1 and 2. Angels are bringing words from heaven, from God. And if we'll agree with those words, those angels who only obey the Father are now put into action on our behalf. But then there is darkness and wickedness and principalities that are trying to resist this. And it says they are trying to wear down the saints. And for a season, these spirits prevail against the saints. So the question I was asking, how could it be a season when Jesus has already got all power and authority and dominion and might, and yet the saints, it looks like the enemy is prevailing? What would that look like? What would that look like? Jesus has already have all authority, all principalities and powers under his feet. What would it look like for the enemy or the principalities or the wickedness to be prevailing against the saints? Would it look like a divided church? Would it look like a powerless church? Would it look like a church that says, there are no gifts of God, there are no signs, wonders, and miracles, who have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof? Would it look like a people that are acquiescing to the perversions of this world because the principalities and powers and says, just come on, just empower me with your words. Just give me dominion in the earth. Because you guys, Jesus has the dominion. And he says, all authority. I'm wanting the saints to take authority. Amen. That's it. It says that they have to begin to take it. They have to begin to possess it. Are you hearing me? Now, you got to get this. It says, for a while, it looks like that the enemy's prevailing. And it even tells right there how he does it. It says, by wearing down the saints, wearing them down. Have you ever heard anybody say anything like this? Are y'all still with me? Are you still good? Amen. All right, let me get this in. I'm praying for my, but you know, I'm not seeing any change. I'm praying for my kids and nothing's happening. I'm just getting worn out. You know, I've been asking God to move in our government, and I'm just really praying for Washington, the presidents, but man, I'm just getting worn out. You know, I'm praying. I'm seeing one bad thing after another. I'm just getting worn out. Hey, man, I'm praying for the Lord to move in our school system. But this is happening, that's happening, that's happening. I'm just getting worn out. Does anybody see a pattern of what I'm talking about? Amen. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the Prince of Peace already has all power, all dominion, all glory, all majesty. And he says, watch this, Romans 8, all creation is waiting, groaning, travailing, waiting for a manifestation of the sons and daughters of God. Waiting. Now watch this. Here's where we've been, but let's read this. Hallelujah. Still with me? Say amen. So he says in verse number 21, I beheld, and the horn prevailed against the saints until, everybody say until. Verse 22 says, until the Ancient of Days came and a judgment was given on the behalf of the saints of the Most High, and it was now time that the saints possessed the kingdom. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Amen. For a while on the earth, it looked like the devil was winning. For a while, it looked like the church was divided. For a while, it looked like that the enemy was able to convince the church that there were no signs, wonders, or miracles. For a while, it looked like evil was prevailing. But then the big judge got his hammer out. Amen? Hallelujah. He got out his gavel. He assembled the court of heaven. He pulled that little thing over there, and he says, I'm rendering a judgment on behalf of the saints. Bam. He says, now saints, possess the kingdom. Amen. And in other words, take. Hallelujah. This is Matthew 11 language to me. Amen. Jesus said, since the days of John the Baptist, the kingdom has suffered the spirit of violence. You know, the spirit of violence. You know what that looks like, don't you? You know, that's that spirit that blows people up when they're going to church. That's a spirit that tries to go into our school system and make children afraid to go to school. Y'all know the spirit of violence, don't you? You know what I'm talking about? Tries to walk into Walmart stores and tries to go to our festivals. And that spirit of violence says, since the days of John the Baptist, the spirit of violence has assaulted the kingdom. But it is taken back by forceful men and women. Amen. The kingdom is not something that you stumble into. The kingdom must be possessed. Amen? Hallelujah. I can stand all day long and hold it out. But until Phil bridges the gap and takes it, that's called possessing. Amen? Jesus has already, the Bible says, all principalities and powers are under his feet. But the saints of God must take possession. He's not giving it up. I like it. I like you. Hold on to him. Do you understand what I'm saying? So let me tell you, I got to land this plane. Listen, this is where we are in the body of Christ right now. Amen. This is what is happening in the earth. A revelation of the kingdom of God is being restored to the body of Christ. Amen. And what is happening is that men and women of God who've said, well, I just don't understand, I'm just worn out by this, they're going to say, wait a minute, forget that. I'm rising up in faith, and I'm possessing the power and the authority that I have been given. Listen, 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 I'm drawing the line. Enemy, you're not having my children. You're not having my grandchildren. You're not taking my city. You're not bringing poverty on my land. You're not destroying my loved ones. I'm standing up and taking possession of the kingdom of God. It is my Father's good pleasure to give me the kingdom. Oh, listen, listen, listen. Remember in the story of the prodigal son, and the older brother got mad and ran outside. And Papa went out there and says, what's wrong, son? He said, here this lost one comes in, been spending your money. And he says, and you kill the fatted calf and put your robe on him. He said, I'm right here with you. You never even give me a kid that I can have a party with my friends. The father looks at him. He said, son, this is my son. He was lost and now he's found. He was dead. Now he's alive. He said, I'm going to rejoice. I'm the one that leaves the 99 and goes after that one lost sheep. Amen. Watch this. He says, but son, do you not understand? Everything I have is yours. Can somebody hear that? Everything that I have is yours. Jesus comes up out of the grave on the third day. He walks out of the tomb, and just like the waters of Noah had been poured out on the earth, Jesus had just had the waters of judgment. Actually, not water. John said, he said, I baptize you with water, but there's coming one after me whose shoes I'm not even worthy to lace up, and he's going to baptize with fire. Hallelujah. Anybody hearing me? So just as waters had covered the earth and saved Noah, fire covered the one who took all of our sins onto himself. He descended into the lake. And the one who was able to be baptized with fire. He let the judgment come on him and not on us. Is anybody glad about that? And when the judgment was abated, he stepped out of the tomb. And there's only going to be one fire that's offered up to the Father. All other fires have been put out. Does anybody know what? Can you get where I'm going? You see this? You say, I don't see the connection. Well, let's let Isaiah put the exclamation point on it. Isaiah said, when Messiah comes, Isaiah 54, when Messiah comes, he said, though you were desolate. He said, I was mad at you for a season. He said, but not anymore. And he said, the one that has been barren, y'all know who he's talking about? I didn't at first. And then Paul lets the cat out of the bag. In Galatians chapter 4, it says, it's talking about the new Jerusalem. He said the old Jerusalem is engendered, is like Hagar and engenders to bondage. But there's another Jerusalem, there's another city. And said it's the new Jerusalem, and she is the mother of us all. And then you know what he says next? He quotes Isaiah 54, and he says, like it says in Isaiah 54, sing, O ye that were barren. Watch this. There was so many years after God in eternity had built the new Jerusalem, there had not been one citizen in that city until Noah number two comes up out of hell, being baptized by fire, being the firstborn among many brethren. That's why Paul calls the New Jerusalem the mother of us all. Because, watch this, Jesus was the firstborn of the New Jerusalem. And the Bible says he was the firstborn among many brethren. And the second, the last Adam undid what the first Adam did. Watch this. So that he could bring many sons and daughters into righteousness. Watch this. Papa God looks at the New Jerusalem and says, I want you to sing. Because though you were barren and had no children, you're going to have more children than any city on earth. And it's all going to be men and women of God that are born again by the Spirit of God. And now they're receiving eternal bodies. Is anybody getting where I'm coming from? Amen. Hallelujah. And so listen to this. This is the quote that I love, and I got to close. Isaiah 54. He said, listen, it's like the waters of Noah to me. When Messiah comes, he says, just as I swore to Noah, I'll never cover the earth again with water. He said, when Messiah comes, he says, I swear to you, I'll never be mad at you again, says your God. Did anybody hear me just say that? I swear like I swore to Noah. Just as the judgment of water came on the earth and I said, Noah, I'm putting a rainbow in the sky to let you know this won't happen again. Isaiah says that God says, I swear like that to those who are born again by the Messiah, I'll never be mad at you again, says your God. Have y'all read that? Does that make anybody want to dance other than me? Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father.